Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this last day of February. Oh, no, I guess tomorrow is. I was being hopeful. It's the second to the last day of February, the 27th, although it feels like the middle of winter, which I guess it is. This hour of the program, we're going to be talking about the 27,000 pages of emails that were recently released from a former aide to Governor Scott Walker, Kelly Reinflesch, who was convicted last year of using her government job to do illegal campaign work. We'll have two guests with us, and we are particularly interested in hearing from you this hour. What do you think about the released emails? What questions remain in your mind? Is this old news to you? Do you care about this story? We're going to talk about all of it. The president of the Conservative Civic Forum PAC, Ford O'Connell, said that the real test for Walker right now is how he handles this new scrutiny of the old investigation and answers questions about these investigations. Remember, he has to be thinking not just about his reelection, but also what he says now, how that will look 2 years down the line. We have two guests with us, Sean Johnson, the award-winning Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Later in the hour, Bill Leaders will be with us, Money and Politics Project Director for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And here's how you reach our conversation. We'd like to hear from you, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page, where you're ever so welcome to leave messages, is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And we're also on Twitter at K Dunn Show. Sean, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So has anybody read through all 27,000 pages?
I mean, I don't know if you can read every word of it, but I think people have given their best shot at scanning through some of them. Every now and then I'll do a search for another term and find something that I missed the first time. So there's a lot to digest there.
Mm-hmm. So you don't expect any big news to come concerning those emails in the next few days?
Well, the phrase that was thrown around a lot on the first day that they were released was, that there was no smoking gun. Mm-hmm. That if you were looking for something huge in there or something criminal, that it didn't pop up upon initial review. And that makes sense because, you got to remember that at least from a criminal standpoint, if you're looking for something that you can prove in a court of law, prosecutors already had a chance to go through these a couple years ago, and they charged what they felt they could, particularly as regards, Kelly Reinflesch.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a first draft look over these and had them in hand for a long time. It's just the first time they've been released publicly.
The question that the governor is being asked nationally in that memorable interview on Fox News, actually, with Chris Wallace was, did he know about a secret email system? And he gave an unusual answer to that and has stuck pretty much to that answer. Why is it that after all these emails, there wouldn't be, if he knew about a secret email system, why wouldn't that be evident in all of these emails?
Governor Walker's pretty guarded in his comments publicly. And if you look back through these emails, even in, communications with some of his key campaign staff, some of his key county staff, you don't see Scott Walker go flying off the handle or tip his hand more than he needs to at any time, really. He's very detail-oriented, but fairly consistent with the person that you hear, talking in press conferences and media availabilities in these communications, too. So I think the question that these emails raise is, you get a bigger picture of what kind of a manager Scott Walker was in the county executive's office. He was not somebody who was a public official who was sort of above the fray. I mean, we sometimes think that an executive or a governor is going to have staff that takes care of everything for him, and they can go out and just kind of be a figurehead. And that was not Scott Walker. I mean, he was very involved in every decision in that office. And so, that begs the question, well, did you know about this secret email network that was right in your office?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been very firm, saying, I'm not going to answer questions about those emails. That's in the past.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that he was advised by a lawyer to say that? Because he does repeat that.
Well, I can't say what he was advised by lawyers, but there is an ongoing, another John Doe investigation that we know involves conservative groups and potential interaction with campaigns during the recall election. We know that Governor Walker's campaign continues to pay attorneys, well past the conclusion of John Doe 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it may be that caution has been advised along the way, but he does have a political campaign he's running this year in 2014. He's running for re-election as governor, and it's pretty widely speculated to be running in 2016. And in fact, in that Fox News interview that you referenced there, Chris Wallace even kind of set it up, said, look, people are looking at you as a potential candidate in 2016. Should this worry them?
Right.
And that was kind of the first time I even heard Governor Walker reject the premise of a 2016 run. And he said, no, it shouldn't worry them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he kind of shook his head, making me
right.
think, oh, yeah, maybe he is going to be a candidate. Tell me a little more about John Doe 2. How long has that been underway?
That actually got started before the conclusion of John Doe 1. And, you don't know much about it because these are mostly secret investigations. I mean, we know this one's out there. We know that one of the conservative groups that's being investigated has sued investigators, mm-hmm. saying that the investigation infringes on their free speech rights or their First Amendment rights. And we know it spans five counties, so this is you have Republican and Democratic DAs involved in this. We don't know exactly. We don't know a lot of the fine details. We haven't had any, criminal charges filed in this case that sort of lift the veil, as was as slowly happened in John Doe 1, where as they released these charges, you could kind of start to see the bigger picture of what they were looking at.
There hasn't been, at least to my mind, or perusal of all of this, a whole lot of reaction from Democrats in the state of Wisconsin. The pointing to all of these emails seems to be left to Debbie Wasserman Schultz and to some national media. What do you think about Democratic response to the release of these emails? Has it been strong or relatively silent?
I think if you look at what Democratic office holders have done, or people who want to be Democratic office holders, like Mary Burke, Scott Walker's opponent in this year's governor's race, they haven't said much of anything. And Mary Burke especially, she was completely quiet the day that these emails dropped. And it was, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the state Democratic Party, too, has been very aggressive attacking these emails. So that they've been the ones that have been out there hitting the governor day in, day out. Democratic office holders, though, they've made a conscious decision to take a step back here and, let others kind of do the dirty work here.
Mm-hmm. Has the governor successfully been able to move off this issue as he attends to business in the state and moves around in the state?
I think time will kind of tell in that one. He knows the pros and cons of doing this, and he's made a conscious decision that he's going to basically draw a line and not talk about what he knew or not dive back into all these documents. And so he does continue to be asked about them. He was asked about them, by national media while he was in Washington, and he was asked about them by Wisconsin media when he came back to Wisconsin from his trip to Washington on Tuesday. Asked about him again at his first Milwaukee stop today, and so it's still fresh and is still, as these new nuggets come out, I imagine he'll be asked about them from time to time, but he's kind of banking on the fact that this is going to get old after a while, and he's going to say voters knew about this investigation when I was up for the recall, the recall election, and they sent me back.
What about his case that this is old already? On that aforementioned Fox show, he said it's one of those where I point out the district attorney has reviewed every single one of these issues. Case closed. It's been thoroughly reviewed.
Yeah, and it's, again, in the court of law, Absolutely. The DA had a chance to look at these.
Mm-hmm.
They made the decisions on charging what they felt they could charge. And so that aspect of the case is over. But now you have these 27,000 pages of emails and other documents which really lift the veil on, the governor's public office in the year before he was elected governor. And so, you know, this is now out in the court of public opinion. And there's a lot of details in there that, certainly raise eyebrows,
yeah.
If nothing else.
Well, let's go to the court of public opinion and take at least one call for you, and we'll take many more calls during the course of this hour. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're talking about the release of the 27,000 emails. Was there information that was new to you that raised alarms, or is it old news? Phone lines are open for you. Let's go to Lynn in Milwaukee. Sean, we'll take one call for you. Hi, Lynn.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My thing with the governor is that he just does this, what I call the Jedi mind trick he thinks he's doing. It's like he doesn't answer any questions. He has a pat response, and no one pushes him. They just let him say the same thing over and over. And, you know, to say that you didn't know that there was a secret email system that you used in your office is just disingenuous. And I think that state Democratic leaders have made a mistake by letting other people lead the charge on this and pointing out this was on the taxpayers', dime. And then I also think that nationally and locally, enough has not been made of the recall list. You know, for the first time in Wisconsin state history, a list of people who legitimately believe there should be another election, not that they were so angry against the governor per se, have been put in a database. Some people have been harassed. People have been, have problems at work because they signed the recall petition. And the governor himself, didn't appoint a young man who simply signed the petition because he thought it would... maybe they should vote again. This to me is a combination of policies that may not be illegal, but show a bad character.
Thank you very much for your call. I don't know if you need a response to that, Sean, but you're welcome to give one if you'd like.
Yeah. You did hear that when the governor gave the answer that he wanted to give about the John Doe documents on Fox News, Chris Wallace he did eventually let him go, but he did say, "You're not answering my question."
Yes, he did.
And it was pretty apparent that he wasn't. It's just a matter of how many times do you see those interviews, or at what point do reporters kind of get tired of that interplay, or, when does... the ultimate test is what the public thinks about it, and whether the public is satisfied with non-answer answers on that topic.
Thank you, Sean, so much for being with us.
All right. Thanks, Kathleen.
Sean Johnson, WPR's state government reporter, will continue. Same topic. Bill Leaders will be joining us, Money and Politics Project Director from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And we're interested in hearing from you. What do you think of all of this? You are the public. You have looked at these stories. You've read some of the emails. Are there big issues here for you? Are there questions that you would like for the governor to answer? Or is it he wasn't charged, so is it old news and the press is making too much of this issue? What do you think? Lines are open for you. Please fill them. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. President Obama announced on Thursday that he plans to overhaul the way foods are labeled. Rob Ferret and Veronica Rickard find out exactly how they will change, and they'll also take a look at today's top news stories. Central Time today from 3 until 6. We are in our winter membership drive, and You know, your support is the foundation of our budget. It was what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. And we'll be back to this topic, which is an important one for Wisconsin and the many, many phone calls that are coming in. I'm glad we're anxious to hear from you. Just in a few minutes, we will do that. But first, this is very important. KP Whaley, the wonderful producer of this program, is with me, and he and I would like to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202 right now to make your gift in support of all the programs that you count on. Hi, KP.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks. And yeah, last hour we did hear from 19 new and returning members. So we do want to thank you for those pledges.
And right now we have, this is a neat thing, and it's an important hour because we have one of those dollar for dollar matches. So you get like two for the price of one.
A twofer.
You get a twofer here on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's up to $3,600, and the generous match is from a group of supporters. They're from Clinton and Monroe and El Dorado, and it means that they will match every dollar that you give. So it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, get your pledge doubled right now. These matching grants are really a great opportunity for you, and we want you to take the perfect opportunity.
Right.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listening to the Ideas Network is really a lot like going out for coffee with a smart and engaging and fun friend. It's enjoyable. It's informative. It's one of the best things, I think, to do in life, and it piques your curiosity.
And someone has to pick up the tab, too. And that's where you come in. You make this daily cup of coffee on the Ideas Network possible with your financial support. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and then how you would like to pay.
If you really want to make it easy, you can use a credit card. It's a simple one-time gift, or even better, you can start automatic sustaining donations directly out of your bank account. You choose how you want to give, and then you do it. It's that simple at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a critical resource for the state, and the only way that it's going to be maintained in the long term is to have people who support it. I think it's great to be able to hear what is happening in various parts of the world. I think it's critical to have that resource available, whether we use it every day or not. I like being part of the system that is supporting WPR. Being a supporter of WPR is important for everyone so that they can make use of the resource that is available in our state. I'm Doug Nelson from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn. KP Whaley is with me in our studios in Milwaukee, and we're asking very simply for your support of WPR during this winter membership drive. Your gift may be, well, $10, it might be $20 a month, but whatever you choose is the right amount. So choose it and then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from a group of supporters from Clinton, Monroe, and El Dorado. So it's so important because it means that your gift of $50 turns into $100 or $100 to $200. You can take a gift of $500 and turn it into $1,000 right here for WPR. So take advantage of the match now. Go make your gift go even further for the great programs you hear here on WPR. Get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
One common factor among WPR listeners and people who work here is they love to read. Mm-hmm. And you've probably received a lot of book recommendations from your WPR listening, whether it's a book on chapter a day or one of the many interviews that we've done. We read an incredible amount. You should see KP's desk. I mean, it's just filled with books. There are books everywhere. And he gets all the mail every day. I say, KP, I don't get any mail. He gets all these books. And we interview a lot of the authors. It may be something you heard on a news program that made you want to go out and learn more about that topic.
Yeah, and at WPR, it's almost like we provide you with this never-ending book
right.
list. Your donation right now really does make that kind of endless enjoyment and discovery possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and keep those book recommendations coming.
If you've never given before, here's what to expect. It's a very short process, just a few minutes. You answer some basic questions. What is your name? What is your address? The amount of your gift and how you'd like to pay.
And that's it. Make the first donation now to WPR. We know that you'll feel good about it. Many first-time donors give maybe even just $5 a month, but the amount is totally up to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you already renew by mail or make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, we thank you. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers really are the backbone of WPR.
And if you haven't given yet, join thousands of others, wonderful WPR members, by donating now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
And as KP was telling you, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. These don't come along very often, so it's a very important hour to give. If you were giving $100, it's really $200, which is good. You don't want to pass this up. So give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And look, we have this new, really cool logo, and that logo is on a t-shirt that can be yours with your pledge of just $120. That's only $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not already a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. WPR.org 888-202-2552.
Donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support of WPR.
That's for sure. Thank you. Thank you, KP, for all you do as well. We're talking about the release of the 27,000 emails last week, and what we've learned from those emails, what questions you have, how they sit with you. If you think it's old news now, it's time to move on. But it's not old news because there will be other news on John Doe 2 eventually, and what you've learned from some of these emails. And this next part of our show, our lines are filled, and I promise you we'll get to you in just one moment. Bill Leaders is with us, Money and Politics Project Director for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Bill, thank you so much for being with us.
Good to be here.
We didn't ask, and we should ask you this. How did this whole thing come about? Were there a lot of news outlets that wanted release, and are they asking for release of more emails?
Well, there will be additional requests for additional information. There's no doubt about that. A number of news organizations joined the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in asking a judge to order the release of emails that were collected from Milwaukee County as part of the John Doe probe. These would have been public records prior to the John Doe probe. When they became part of the records of the probe, they became kind of closed off to immediate access. So at the conclusion of the probe, there was a request made by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and other groups, including the group that I'm associated with as president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, which represents media and others on open government issues. We joined that battle, and we filed court briefs arguing for the release of these emails from the John Doe probe as it related to Kelly Reinfleisch. And that is what prompted the release of this batch of 27,000 pages of documentation the other day.
And you've asked for release of other emails as well?
There will be additional requests. I don't know of what is pending right now, but there were other aspects of the John Doe investigation. As Sean mentioned, there's another John Doe probe at some point. Records that are collected as part of that investigation, there'll be a push to make those public. And, you know, this is just part of the way the process plays out. For a period of time while a case is under active investigation, authorities can say, well, we can't let you see that now. But they can't say that forever.
Mm-hmm. And were there anything in these emails? Actually, I wonder, I'll ask you the same question. Has anybody gone through all of these pretty thoroughly, like read all 27,000 pages one after another?
I I doubt that anyone has read everything. I know of one reporter I spoke to the other day who said he was going to spend the weekend going through as much as he could. Now, some of this is just articles that someone in the county executive staff located and passed on. So, I mean, a lot of this is also repeated information. There's two big batches of emails, and one is contains almost a complete set of what's in the other batch. So there's a lot of repetition, as you would expect to encounter with emails and email chains. So it's not as arduous as it might sound to say 27,000 pages. I think people have done extensive keyword searches for various things. I did a search for open records, for instance, so I could do a short story about how the county exec office under Scott Walker dealt with open records requests, the attitude that it had toward them, the ways that it calculated its response, the ways that it tried to frustrate requesters at times, and the ways that it asserted its determination to obey and follow the law at other times.
Mm-hmm. They saw these as pretty much a pain in the you-know-what.
They did. And at one point, there's an interesting email that came from Scott Walker himself to Charlie Sykes, the Milwaukee radio host, mm-hmm. where he said, you should see all the records requests that we get from all these groups, from Democrats and from groups like One Wisconsin Now. In fact, you should put in an open records request for all the open records requests that we get, and you'll see. So I don't know if Charlie Sykes followed through on that, but it was a suggestion of the governor that he do.
Any indication why he chose Charlie Sykes for that?
Well, I think, you know, it's someone who is known to Scott Walker probably from way back when, and is someone whose program he has been on, and someone whose journalistic abilities I think he respects. Mm-hmm. That would be my guess on it.
We have a ton of phone calls. Orville is calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Orville.
How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
I've been a supporter of Scott Walker's since the days when he was running for state legislature. That's got to be 15 years ago, at least, maybe 20. I've known him personally. I was in that batch of 27,000 pages of emails because I made an open records request to the county executive office. And what most people don't realize here, there may be nothing here that is very damaging, somewhat slightly embarrassing to the governor, but what the the county executive staff at the time was doing, they would send the email to the open records request by email to the governor's campaign manager, and he would determine what went out, how it went out, how much it would cost. That's, to me, that's the damaging part. That is the thing that most media people and most members of the general public are missing, mm-hmm. that they were controlling how the release of these records and who got what, and to me that is just way over the top. And I'm asking the governor to come forward and answer some of these questions that the reporters and others may have.
So normally the open records request would go where, Orville?
Well, normally it goes to one of the staff of the county executive, and mm-hmm. they would gather up the information and, you know, send it to their requester, and that's typically the way the process works.
Mm-hmm.
I've done hundreds, if not thousands, of open records requests over the years.
I see. So you're asking for a response to this? Who have you asked?
Well, I called the governor's office Monday after all this was released and asked him to do this. I've had a number of Facebook discussions with other people who think there's nothing there, that nothing to see here. I disagree strongly that I think this is a very serious violation of the open records law. I mean, this is the most powerful tool that individual citizens has to hold their government accountable, is the open records law. And I use it quite frequently. And I think that it's time for the governor to come forward and say, here's what happened, here's why it happened, and answer some questions.
Thank you, Orville, very much for the call. Another indication, perhaps, Bill, of this very close relationship between the campaign staff and the staff that was there to do county business.
Absolutely. There's a lot of suggestion in this documentation, in these emails, that there was extensive coordination between the county executive's county staff and his campaign officials. Your caller is Orville Seymour, who is with Citizens for Responsible Government, which is a conservative group that helped oust the last Milwaukee County executive before that job opened up for an individual named Scott Walker to fill. He's someone who Orville is someone who I interviewed as one of the people who knew Scott Walker over the years and was a very prominent fan and defender when I did a profile on the governor a couple years ago. I think it's significant that even the governor's supporters, even conservatives, are troubled by some of the disclosures in these emails, particularly the extent to which politics was being played, to which requests for information were being subjected to some sort of political calculation and litmus test. I know other people are disturbed by some of these emails, which contained crude and lewd and vulgar content. And then there's just the fact that there are new revelations in the email as to whether the governor had, or at least there's documentation in the emails that there was reason to believe that the governor very well may have been aware of this secret network, that some of the emails are suggested of that. The testimony from one of the proceedings, which was released by transcript, has one of the investigators speculating that it appears as though the county executive must have been aware of this network. And the governor's response so far to questions about that is, this is old news. I'm not going to comment on it. I don't think that's going to fly, and I don't think that should fly. I think that the public is entitled to an answer to that question. What did he know about it? Was he aware of this secret network? Back when this was first discovered in early 2012, the governor was saying, well, there's a John Doe investigation. I can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Well, now he can't go back and say everything is over, but I'm still not going to talk about it. I don't think this question is going to go away.
Yeah. He's saying it's old news. And if you, some of you are unaware, I was really offended by these emails. They're public knowledge now, but how in the world can you find something like this funny? This is just one of them sent to Kelly Reinflesch, an email, and she, I'll tell you her response in a moment, joking that dogs qualified for welfare because they are mixed in color, unemployed, lazy, can't speak English, and have no frigging clue who their daddies are. And her response was hilarious and so true. That's not good. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Orville, thanks very much for your call. We are taking your phone calls to get your response. It's out there in the public now. What's public opinion on these 27,000 emails? 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. And our guest is Bill Leaders, Money and Politics Project Director for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And coming up, we are going to be speaking with the next hour of our program, the author, and he's a cardiologist, the Heart Health Bible. It's a five-step plan to prevent and reverse heart disease. Dr. John M. Kennedy will be with us. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and this, we have so much going on, is our winter membership drive. You rely on WPR for informative, in-depth discussions with hours like this. What is the public opinion? What is the court of public opinion on important issues like the one that we're talking about this hour? That's where this station is so crucial, because you don't hear a wide variety of opinions on these kinds of issues anywhere else. So you rely on WPR for informative, in-depth discussions. We rely on you to find out what you're thinking. And your gift right now of any amount will make a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have an amazing dollar-for-dollar match right
great
now going
hour.
On as well. Up to $3,600 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge, because every dollar you give, a group of supporters from Clinton, Monroe, and El Dorado will donate an additional dollar, dollar-for-dollar. So this is the time to really double your impact of your pledge right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I believe it's true that when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you really make your community a better place and yourself a better person. You're an engaged and informed citizen. You're a member of a living democracy. When you give to Wisconsin Public Radio, you're doing double the good that you do.
That's right. And it's because WPR is listener supported, which means that your financial support is the foundation of our budget. Your support makes this incredible service available. And for you and also for everyone in the state. So pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you pay your bills online. You do? I don't do that.
So much easier.
I got to learn how to do that. I don't do that yet. And you don't miss all the extra paper in the envelopes floating around the house, not to mention what you save on postage and checks.
That's right. And supporting WPR in that same way is easy to do as a sustainer. You choose a simple monthly amount that works for you, say $10 or $20 a month, and it's set up to come out automatically out of your credit card or your bank account, and it rolls over each year, so your support of WPR is always current, and that's very
great.
Good for you, and it's good for us. It's easy to do at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
You've got something dynamite. I mean, I just want to give the biggest, most sincere thanks to the people that had this as their brainchild and that worked to see it to its fruition. You know, it's one of the tools of democracy that we have. We don't have town hall meetings anymore, but we do have an electronic town hall meeting on the Ideas Network.
Give to WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, is A-OK. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
That's right. And again, that dollar-for-dollar match is in effect right now. So go to WPR.org.
Yes.
A group of supporters from Clinton, Monroe, and El Dorado are generously giving us a dollar for every dollar up to $3,600.
All right, that's great. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, everybody, so much. We're going to go back to phone calls. We have tons of them on this issue. KP Whaley, thank you, and thank you for all the great work you do. Production work at this place is so crucial. Great producers, and he's one of them. All right, let's go back to phone calls. We're talking about the release of the 27,000 pages of emails. Sean Johnson said it's now in the court of public opinion, so you're the public. What's your opinion? 800-486-8655. Bill Leaders is our guest. He is Money and Politics Project Director for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And we go to Mike in Milwaukee. Thanks for waiting, Mike. Hi.
Hi. I'm hoping that somebody out there is going to be looking at not just the content of the emails, but doing some kind of a pattern analysis at when were they sent, who were they sent by, and do something that's very similar to what the NSA does with all the metadata they keep, which is try to establish the relationships. Because I think there's things that if they are able to establish that the governor has or other folks that maybe haven't been indicted yet, if they're able to establish that they had to have seen or had to have known something about some of these emails just because it went by their eyes that many times. Or for example, if they were getting emails, campaign-related emails from their county staff, 20 or 30 in the afternoon or 20 or 30 in the morning of a workday, you had to put something together to say, hey, these guys are working on county time. I mean, and you can do that without the content. And, and that's where I'm hoping that somebody looks at something besides just the content of the email.
Yeah.
But they also look at the pattern and the relationships on how they're getting forwarded and sent around.
Is anybody doing that, Bill?
There may be. What the caller is trying to do is to get an end around to get an answer to what's really a simple question that the governor could answer is, was he aware of this secret network? And I'm going to say something that's going to shock and appall some of your listeners, but if the governor were to say that he had no knowledge of this secret network, I, for one, would be inclined to believe him. My experience as a reporter is that most public officials are honorable and they do not tell direct lies, both because it's not in their nature and because they don't want to get caught saying something that's untrue. So if the governor were to say, I didn't know that this existed, I think that would settle the matter for a lot of people, and it probably should. Him saying, I'm not going to answer the question, though, should not put the matter to rest.
Why do you think he's saying that? I mean, obviously, we don't know the full answer, the truth, but why would he say that?
I think that he thinks that he can brush this off by issuing that response. And And maybe he can, but I can tell you that journalists consider it our job to keep asking the question. We are not supposed to be, we're not supposed to take, I'm not going to answer that question as an answer. Chris, Wallace didn't like that answer when it came from the governor. He's not, people are not going to stop asking it, particularly as if he continues to rise on the national stage and as a potential candidate for president, he's going to have to come up with a better response than that.
And he will be people will keep asking that very same question because it's the crucial question, right?
It is. And, you know, maybe the thing for him to do is to acknowledge the level of cognition that he had with it and to put it into a perspective that makes sense for people. These are all gray lines here that in which these things have fallen to a blurry category. When you are a public official, part of what you do is you sell yourself politically. And the fact there's some communication between a county official and a campaign official, you know, even coordination of schedules is inevitable and not illegal and not necessarily improper. But then it crosses a line where you're asking campaign officials to weigh in on political decisions of how you conduct yourself in your capacity, and that gets more blurry and more problematic. What we have here is a situation where people are actually convicted of crimes for crossing those lines, and the question is to the governor, what did you know about it?
Right. Thanks, Mike, for your call. Judy in Grand Marshall. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Thank you. I guess I could have missed this, but has anybody made the honorable decision of paying the county back for all the wasted time, all the stolen wages? I've never heard anybody talk about how the county was paid back.
I don't know anything about that. Sorry.
Has anybody asked for that? The campaign ought to be reimbursing the county for wages that weren't used for on the taxpayers' dime?
I'm not aware of anybody asking for that.
Thanks, Judy, very much for your call. Randy in Key Wascom. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. What I'd like to know is if somebody's investigating the emails of John Chisholm and the Democratic Party, seeing as Mike Tate seemed to know every step that John Chisholm and his staff and Landgraf took, and this supposed secret John Doe investigation was far from secret. This was just basically politics by the Democratic District Attorney of Milwaukee County. And John Doe, too, is the same thing. This is basically trying to go and discredit everybody and anybody that's conservative. I'd like to see some of these. I'd like to see those emails. I think, realistically, Matt Holland should go investigate that, and there should be some people perp walked out like John Chisholm did to innocent people just because he didn't answer the questions the way they liked. And I think information should be leaked constantly about that and see what would happen there.
Bill.
Well, your caller has very strong opinions on this subject, and he's trying to say that there's nothing to this matter other than politics being played for ill purposes. I don't know how to respond to that other than to note that, as a matter of fact, six individuals were convicted of crimes in a court of law for violations of law that stem from things that were discovered in this investigation. So I don't know how you can say that there was nothing to it but political gamesmanship.
It's an indication of where this state is. We are so politically at odds with each other that it's hard for us to just have a conversation looking at, you know, what are the facts, ma'am?
I agree. But this comes up always when political players are charged with wrongdoing. It came up when Chuck Quala was charged with crimes of former state senator, and when Brian Burke was charged and convicted of crimes. They all say, you're only coming after me because I'm a politician. You're coming after me for partisan reasons, even though in both those cases there were Democrats involved in prosecuting Democrats. That still isn't the accusation that is made. And on some level, I think journalists should be searching out information that substantiates the intentions of prosecutors. And we should be reporting on that. We should be curious about what the motivation of these things are. On another level, I think prosecutors are entitled to a presumption that they are acting in good faith, absent evidence that they are not.
Thanks, Randy, for your call. Bill in Two Rivers. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to thank the woman that called earlier and mentioned the blacklist that was exposed on This American Life from October 27th of last year. And I also wanted to mention that the governor is very good at insulating himself. He blamed it then, and he's blaming this on his chief of staff, who probably gets paid to take the heat. Very, very skilled at this. I believe that he subverted democracy and committed treason by doing this, and also Ted Cruz committed treason when he tried to shut down the government because his wife would have made millions of dollars. She's a bond salesman for Goldman Sachs. Somebody should look into that. I think this all goes back to unlimited millions of dollars in David Koch brothers in their think tank in the Tea Party. It's low-key now. They're backing off of this because they lost the last presidential election. But David Koch even controls public television.
All right. Thank you, Bill, very much for your call. Does all of this go back to money in some way, as a lot of things do, Bill, or is that a side issue?
Well, money is a powerful and corrupting influence in politics. There's no question about that. I think, though, when I hear your last caller and some of the other people who have called, you know, what there is among the public is a deep distrust and even contempt for political players, and it mm-hmm. comes from all political directions, which is why I support the idea of politicians being as open as possible and to answer questions as much as they can, because I think that that cuts against the grain of those assumptions. I think that the more politicians endeavor to explain themselves and be honest, the more people are going to see them not in the stark terms of good and evil, but as in a more realistic light.
Yeah, nothing wrong with honesty. Thank you, Bill, so much for being with us, and I hope you'll join us again.
I would like that.
Great. Thanks. Bill Leaders with us, Money and Politics Project Director for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And we thank Sean Johnson as well, WPR's state government reporter, for being with us. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and with KP Whaley. Ooh, we're getting close to our goal, KP. This is Wisconsin Public Radio's winter membership drive. You count on us for great discussion. We love hearing what you think about issues, and it's your gift of any amount that makes all these discussions possible. So please give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And that dollar-for-dollar matching grant is still available, up to $3,600. It's a great time to pledge, because for each dollar you give, a group of supporters from Clinton, Monroe, and El Dorado will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double your impact right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're getting very, very close to that goal right now. You've been enjoying the conversation about the 27,000 emails that were released last week. Our news department has done a terrific job on this story as well. This hour is an example of the town hall public opinion hours that we do, and I think they're incredibly valuable to find out what you think about all of this. So please let us continue to have these kinds of hours.
Yeah, take a few minutes now to make this hour of Kathleen Dunn every day, and many, many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might be interested in playing a larger role in support of WPR. There's a 9XM Leadership Circle, and it's a group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs.
Yeah, Leadership Circle members value the compelling radio that is so important to the people in our community and that they rely on. So they want to make sure it will be here today and tomorrow for all who listen. So if you'd like to increase your support to WPR and join the 9XM Leadership Circle, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Meg Marshall, and I'm from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. I think today, especially with this crazy world we live in, it's more important than ever that people know what's going on in the world. This is not just about the United States. It's about the entire world. And the only place you find coverage of international issues to the depth that you find them on Wisconsin Public Radio is right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Meg from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
What does making a pledge mean? It means it's a promise, and we pledge to bring you great shows every day. Your pledge is to support them with a contribution.
Right.
Forgive me. Contribution in any amount.
Any amount. And when you help pay for the cost of this station, we'll make sure that there's something interesting like this hour for you to listen to. That's our pledge to you. Now make yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Please remember we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect, which is we'll get double the money. It's a terrific thing. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And ask for that new WPR logo T-shirt.
Yeah, John Munson has one.
It's only $120
cool.
or more, and that's only $10 a month. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you very much. Thanks, KP.
Thank you.
KP Whaley, our producer who produced this hour, and thanks to Katie Mattson for on-air production, and thanks to John Munson for his help today. We're going to put a picture of KP and John on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, because they have cool Wisconsin Public Radio logo on today. Take a look.